It's working? Okay.
Sorry.
We can't start? Oh.
5 seconds.
Okay. Hello, I'm Fraser. I come from Australia, work at Red Hat on identity management and PKI solutions. And yeah, talking about Kerberos PK init protocol. So I'll give an overview of the Kerberos authentication protocol, then I will discuss PKInit, what its advantages are, how it works, and a short demo. Then I will discuss the security considerations and give a demonstration of a recently discovered attack against the implementation of Kerberos PKInit that we have in FreeIPA. So Kerberos is an authentication protocol based on symmetric cryptography. It's a single sign-on protocol, so you can authenticate once per day, for example, and using a token from that initial authentication, you can then authenticate to additional services, hosts, or users in the organization's infrastructure. It was started at MIT in the late 80s. The current major version of the protocol is version 5, and it came about in the early 90s. The most recent IETF document describing the base protocol is RFC 4120, and that was from 2005, so even that version is nearly 18 years old. But there have been many extensions and enhancements since then. The major implementations are MIT Kerberos, Microsoft Active Directory, Heimdall, and FreeIPA, or Identity Management in RHEL, which uses MIT Kerberos under the hood with some additional extensions. The parties in the Kerberos authentication protocol are the client, the key distribution center, and services. So the key distribution center, or KDC, consists of two services that are logically distinct within the protocol, but typically combined together into this one party, which is called the KDC. Users, services, and the KDC itself are all represented as principals in a realm. So a principal is just a name for a user, host, or service in the realm, and the realm is the namespace for those user, hosts, or services. So often you'll see one company, one organization might have one realm, but as companies grow or have mergers and acquisitions, then typically you'll end up with multiple realms in your organization. Each principal has a long-term secret key, which is shared with the KDC. For users, it's typically derived from a password or passphrase, so using PBKDF2 or some other key derivation algorithm. And for hosts and services, the file is often stored in just in a flat file, which we call a key tab. And the authentication tokens themselves, which are exchanged in this protocol, are called tickets. So let's do some diagrams. The parties, clients, server or services, and the KDC. We can see the client has a key, the server has a key, and the KDC has all of the keys, including the ticket granting service TGS key, which is one of the KDC services. So the initial authentication exchange involves what we call an ASREC or authentication service request. The client says, hey, it's me, I want to authenticate. Actually, it doesn't necessarily carry any authentication information. The authentication happens when the KDC responds to the client, and the response includes a session key randomly generated by the KDC, encrypted to the client's secret key. So the client does not authenticate to the KDC. There are ways that you can do that, but in the base protocol, the authentication happens because only the client can decrypt the response containing the session key. The response also contains a ticket, called the ticket granting ticket, which is not encrypted to the client's key, but rather to the ticket granting services key. It also contains a copy of the session key and some information about the client. So the client can decrypt the session key and store the ticket granting ticket. Later, when the client wants to authenticate to the server, it sends a TGS request to the KDC saying, I would like to talk to such and such a principal, in this case a server. It includes the ticket granting service ticket, or TGT, and it also includes a timestamp for replay attack prevention and some client information encrypted to the session key. The KDC can use the TGS secret key to decrypt the ticket, pull out the session key, decrypt the client authenticator, make sure the client info matches up, make sure the timestamp is within an allowable SKU, and if everything checks out, then in the TGS reply, the KDC can return a ticket for the server, which contains a new session key, and it also returns the new session key encrypted under the existing session key for the TGS session. So the client can decrypt the second session key and store the ticket for the service ticket. And finally, it can talk to the service. So it sends the application protocol request, it includes the service ticket, it includes an authenticator encrypted using the second session key. The server can then use its long-term secret key to decrypt the ticket, pull out the session key, and then it can use that session key to decrypt the authenticator, make sure the client info all lines up, make sure the timestamp is within the allowable SKU, and then there's a shared session key between the client and the server. They can talk whatever protocol they want to talk using that session key. Okay, so that's the base Kerberos protocol. Kerberos has a bunch of extensions and integrations. There's a pre-authentication framework that allows you to integrate additional authentication mechanisms such as a TOTP or an HOTP. There are mechanisms for embedding Kerberos authentication in the GSS API and in Sazzle. So that will allow you to use Kerberos authentication with other protocols that support those authentication frameworks, such as LDAP or SMTP, IMAP, etc. For HTTP, there's a protocol called Spinego or Spengo. And we can also include authorization information in the tickets, which contain additional information about the client, how they authenticated to the KDC. So this is what we call the authentication indicator